Blog Talk Radio.
Again, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministry. We are here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8:25. We are an interactive Bible study, and we just enjoy just coming on and sharing the word, as well as hearing from you as we open up the scripture and discuss the scripture, it is a blessing. New beginnings are not just for the young in Christ. We'd like to have prayer, and then we're going to go into our scripture. For those of you that's tuning in for the first time, we didn't complete peace last week. I feel like I'm so tongue-tied. We didn't complete peace last week. We went into the peace, and we were not able to finish all of the scriptures, so this is actually part two of peace. So we're going to be going over some of the scriptures that we talked about last week, and we will also open up scriptures, new scriptures that we have not discussed. And we hope that you join in and be a part of this. We do thank you once again for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. And again, we are New Beginnings Ministry. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the time. We thank you, Father, for health. We thank you for strength. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all those who have tuned in by internet as well as by phone. We ask, Heavenly Father, for a spiritual blessing upon all those, even those that did not tune in and wanted to because of some circumstances. Lord, Father, we pray blessings upon them as well. Father, we pray blessings upon each and every household. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would bless the sick and afflicted. Bless those that know you and those that don't. Father, open up our hearts, open up our minds, and give us clarity as we come together to unveil the mysteries of your word. Lord, we just give you the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm Brother John, along with Dr. Suzanne, who's under the weather, and she's on the other line. And we're going to go into peace and starting off with John 14:2. And it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's John 14:27. I said 2 is John 14:27. And when we look at this, the peace I leave with you, this is like almost like a common benediction amongst the Jews at that time. It's almost like an invocation or a blessing when you say peace and happiness. When you use those type of wording, it is also a form of a wish that you're wishing upon someone that you come in contact with. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And in here, it's the Lord is saying that we are not to be worrying about anything. We are not to worry about anything. Amen. Peace. Peace is when Jesus Christ gives us peace, that means that we are into the Word. We are united with Christ. That means that we are studying the Word, that we keep in our mind focused on Christ, and he's saying that we should not worry. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And when you think about in terms of how Christ, who Christ is to us, and how we see Christ, if he is the author, if he is the finisher, if he is the Alpha, if he is the Omega, if he is the beginning, if he is the end, if he is all those things, if he is ahead of our lives, then these words are to speak to our heart and remind us that we're not to be troubled, nor are we to be afraid. Amen? We are not to be afraid. There's in John 14:1, he has stated reasons why we should not. And he explains to them that he was about to leave them at that time. During that time, he was about to leave them, and he promised them that he would return. Jesus promised that he would return. He assured them that the Holy Ghost would come to comfort, teach, and guide them. And by all these truths and promises, he provided their peace in that time. There was a time where they were afraid because Jesus Christ was leaving. Jesus Christ was, as the Savior, he was leaving that time, and these were the words that he spoke unto the apostles. Peace be with you, and do not be afraid. As we move on to to the next scripture, which is 16:3, and it says, "Behold, the hour has come. Yea, is now come. But ye shall be scattered, every man into his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." And when we look at this, every man to his own, in that area, it's saying that that it is time, when the time comes when I am sacrificed, that every man, everyone that will follow me will become scattered. They will become scattered. Every man to his own, they shall leave me alone. No one is going to stay with Jesus at that time. What they're doing is they're scattering. And Jesus saying that even though that she was with me at that time and I am to be sacrificed for you, I am not alone because the Father is with me. The apostles at that time, when they saw Jesus when he was about to die, it says, you see me die and suppose that my work is defeated. So their thinking, their feeling is that since he is dying, he is going to die at that time, that everything that they did during that time was going to be defeated. And because they were feeling the way that they did at that time, what they did was they scattered back to their own dwelling, to their houses, to whatever job that they had at that time. And Jesus met some of them while they were fishing and on the road. He met many in different times. And what it's saying is that because they were afraid that they was going to scatter back to their own job, to their own dwelling, and it is saying probable that the two disciples going to Emmaus were on their way to the dwellings, and that's, you can find that in Luke chapter 22 after his death. All the disciples retired into Galilee and were engaged in their common employment of fishing. They felt that they were defeated because Jesus was going to die. And Jesus was just speaking to them and giving them a word of hope and reminding them that they were not supposed to be afraid. And he's doing the same thing to us today, reminding us that we are not to be afraid. As men and women of God, we are not to be afraid. It doesn't make a difference what comes against us. It does not make a difference what comes against us. We are not to be afraid, because the word says that he is always going to be with us. Amen? We are not to be afraid. And if you really think about that, you know, oftentimes things do happen and we do become afraid. Amen? We do become afraid. But if we stay focused on the Word of God, if we stay focused on Jesus' promises, he says that there's no weapons that are formed against us shall prosper. No weapons that are formed against us shall prosper. That means there is nothing in this world that can come against us that is going to prosper when we're in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Again, as a reminder for those that are tuning in, if you would like to comment, 347-237-4054. And if you hit the number one, then you have an opportunity to share what is on your heart. Well, again, we do thank you for participating as we move forward in the Word. We are moving on to Acts 10, 33. That's Acts 10, 33. Immediately, therefore, I sent you. You have done well that you are come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of God. Thou has well done. This is an expression of grateful feeling before God. It is in the presence of God, it is implied that they believe that God saw them and that they were assembled at his command. And they were disposed to listen to his instructions. Now think about that. They believe that they saw God, and also they responded by listening to his command. And when we look at this, we think about these, all the distractions that come our way, all the things that go on in our lives. Sometimes we become distracted from hearing the word of God. God is speaking to you, speaking to me. He's speaking to all the hearts of his children. And we are to take time and listen to the word of God. Hear God when he is speaking to us. We are to listen and hear God when he is speaking to us. How often do we take time in the word? And I call that quiet time. How often do we take time, quiet time, to read the word and listen to the voice of God? Because when we are reading the word of God, God is speaking to us. And when we are praying to God, we're speaking to God. And that becomes a one-on-one interaction, that personal relationship which God is looking for from each and every one of us. Amen? Amen. How good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity and in spirit. Amen? Wow. Peace. Speaking about peace, people will pay big money just to have peace. And not realizing that we can have peace in the Word of God. We have peace in the Word of God. God has given us instructions about how to live our lives, how we are to conduct ourselves. And when we do that, when we follow those instructions, those commandments that God has given us, then there is going to be peace. There is going to be peace. Just by following those instructions. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are Acts 10:36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The word. This is the word, or it is considered almost like a doctrine. And in the few passages of the New Testament, if you look, at that time, the word was kind of confusing. It was almost difficult to understand because when it said the word, it the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, but it does not say what the word was. And so oftentimes that becomes confusing because the word was not mentioned. The word was said, but it was not mentioned what the word was. So oftentimes when critics look at that, they more so try to ascertain what the term the word is. And that is supposed to lead us to an understanding that is said. We are the word in God. We understand as Christians, but many become confused by the word. They want to know exactly what the word is. But we know as men and women of God that when we study the word, that the word has a meaning to those that open up our heart. When we open up our hearts to God or open up our hearts at whatever time that we are studying the word of God and allow God to come in, then the word is truly reflecting in us by how we respond, how we treat our brothers, how we treat our sisters. Our response, and that's the Holy Spirit within us, the Word of God within us, then we become a new creation. We become new people. And I like that song when it says, we can begin again. It doesn't make a difference what life that we've come from. It doesn't make a difference what we're going through. We can all begin again. It doesn't make a mistake. God doesn't look at our mistakes. He doesn't look at our mistakes. He looks at us and he sees the Holy Spirit. He sees his Son in us. And he looks past all of our faults, all of our mistakes. And he sees the Holy Spirit which is in us, which is Jesus Christ. Because we have been forgiven. We have been forgiven because of the sacrifice that was made for you and made for me. We move on to Scripture in Romans 1:7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 7, to all, when it says to all that be in Rome, that is to all who bear the Christian name. Now let me say that again. When it say, the scripture says to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. To all, and the verse again, just going over the verse, to all that be in Rome, what that means is, that is to all who bear the Christian name. Perhaps it was probably included not only to the Church of Rome, but all who might have been there from abroad. Because when you think about in terms of Rome, Rome was a place, you know, it was a large place, and many foreigners were there. And Paul, when he addressed at that time, he probably was addressing to all that happened to be there, all that bear the Christian name, the Jews and the Gentiles. Whomever that bear the Christian name, those, when it says to all be in Rome, all who bear the Christian name. Amen. And it also says, a beloved of God whom God loves. This is a privilege to all Christians. And this proves that the person whom Paul addressed were not those merely who had been invited invited there, but it was a privilege to be there to hear the gospel. Beloved of God whom God loves. That it was considered a privilege to all the Christians at that time. All that was called to be saints. So those are all who were called to be saints, but also so-called, or who not only saints. Saints is someone who was influenced by God and who had been influenced by God, who had called them as to become saints. The word saint means those who are holy, or those who are devoted to God. Those were considered the saints. Those were the saints at that time. If you were devoted to God, devoted meaning that you followed his commandments daily. You followed his commandments daily, devoted, or you was consecrated to God. Amen. Romans 2:10. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good, to the Jews first, and also the Greeks. When it says, but glory, honor, and peace. This was to the Jew and the Gentile, that they were supposed to experience the fullest effects of righteousness. To every man that worketh good, that lives in a conscientious obedience to the known will of God, whether he is a Jew or a Gentile, it does not make a difference who you are, Jew or Gentile, you shall have glory, honor, and peace. And when you have that, that is an external blessing. Amen? Wow. Think about that. Having glory, honor, and peace to every man. Hallelujah. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Evidently, to show the results or benefits of justification by faith, that was a doctrine the apostles had known fully, and that was something that the apostles had established. According to my notes, that meant that when we talk about doctrine or justification by faith, number one, that men were under condemnation for sin. This is what the apostles had known fully, that men were under condemnation for sin. Two, that this extended alike to the Jews and the Gentiles. This condemnation for sin extended to the Jew as well as the Gentiles. Three, that there was no way of escape now but by the doctrine of pardon, not by personal merit, that they could be escaped, they could escape this, but it had to be by grace. Grace was the only thing that could pardon, that they could be pardoned by that doctrine. Amen? Four, that this plan was fully made known by the gospel of Christ. Five, that this was no new doctrine, but was in fact substantially the same by which Abraham and David had been accepted before God. So even Abraham and David, they were fully aware of this doctrine. This was the same by which Abraham and David had been accepted before God. This same doctrine. All right, as we move on to Romans 8:6. Romans 8:6. Hallelujah. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When it says death here, that was a penalty of transgression. It was almost like when you've been condemned or almost like an eternal ruin. And if you want to look further in terms of scripture on that, if you look at Romans 5:12, it would speak to you a little bit more if you want to do further studies. Now, what it says, to be spiritually minded, the minding of the spirit, that is making it an object of the mind. The end aim of the actions is to cultivate grace. Cultivate the graces of spirit and to submit to his influence. Now let me read that again. The making it the object of our mind. Just be spiritually minded. The making of our mind. We have to be mentally there, thinking of God all the time. Now the end of this, or our aim, is how we act toward others. And through that, we cultivate the grace of the Spirit. We cultivate that. When we have our mind on God all the time and when we show it in our actions, we cultivate grace. And that is when we submit to his influence. We submit. That means we're saying, God, I can't do it by myself. I know you're with me, but I cannot do it by myself. You know I'm weak, but thou art strong. I can't do it by myself. Our minds, we're spiritually in tune. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. We're not thinking how we're going to do it. We are allowing the influence of the Holy Spirit to do that. And how do we get there? It's by keeping our mind on Christ and showing it through our actions. And when we do that, then there's a grace, the grace of the Spirit. We receive the grace of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, and then we submit to the influence of the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and direct our path. Now, again, it says to be spiritually minded, and then it says, when it talks about life, when it says life, this is supposed to, in Romans 8:6, it talks about life is opposed to death. It is opposed to death. And if you read Romans 8:6, you can read a little further on that. It tends to life. And it is a fact, it is in fact real life. And we talked about in terms of possessing and cultivating the graces of the Spirit, that means we are allowing, we are to be led where he would guide us and is designed in our existence. And his only outcome is going to be the path of happiness, when we allow the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us. The outcome is going to be a path of happiness. Amen? So when we're looking at, when we're talking about peace, there is a prescribed instructions that we are to follow. And when we follow those instructions, we will have peace. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. In Romans, where are we now? In Romans 10, we're looking at the next scripture. And how shall they preach? Romans 10:15. And how they shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And this is Romans 10:15. In verse 15, it says, how shall they preach? In what way shall there be preachers unless they are commissioned by God? The word how does not refer to the manner of preaching, but it is the fact that there would be no preachers at all unless they were sent forth. To preach means to proclaim in a public manner, such as a choir does. In the scripture, it means to proclaim the gospel to all men. And when it goes on, it says, except they be sent. That is, except they are divinely commissioned and sent forth by God. This was an admitted doctrine among the Jews that a proclamation of a divine message must be made by the one who was commissioned by God for that purpose. Now, commissioned and someone who is sent. If you want someone to do something for you, you are going to give them the authority to go and do that. That means that you have given them the authority to be able to go and do what was requested. And when we look at this, this is the same, except they be sent. And if they're sent by God, they have been commissioned and sent forth. Amen. If you want to look further readings, you look at Jeremiah 23:21-17, 14:14-15, or 7:25. Romans 4:7. Well, none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. But none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. Whether by nature, Jews or Gentiles, in the great principle of religion, we are now united. Amen? We are now united. Where there was evidence of a sincere desire to do the will of God, there should have been some type of charitable feeling, though there were differences and opinions and the judgment in many small matters. The meaning of the expression is that no Christian lives to gratify his own appetites. He makes it a great aim to do the will of God and to submit to all his desires. Amen? And under this law, that's what we submit to. Praise the Lord. Again, for those that are listening, if you want to make a comment, 347-237-4054 is the phone number. Hit number one, and that will let us know that you would like to make a comment. For all those of you that are listening by internet, we do thank you for tuning in again. If you would like to make a comment, if you go to the chat room, if you type whatever it is that you would like to request or to share, that will be read. For you. Amen. All right, we're moving on. Romans 14:19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things which one may edify another. The things which make for peace. The high purposes and objects of the Christian religion is not those of smaller matters, which produces confusion, strife, but if men aim at the great objects proposed by the Christian religion, by the Word of God, by the commandments of God, then they will live in peace. We are not to focus on strife. We're not to focus on smaller matters. Our aim is to be, as Christians, to follow our religion, follow the commandments of God. And when we follow the commandments of God, then men will live in peace. There is peace in just following the Word of God. Amen. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now the God of hope. The God of hope. This is the God who inspires or produces hope in the Christians. Now the God of hope, a God who inspires or produces the hope in Christians. And it says, all joy and peace. And if you want to look at Romans 14:17, it says if they were filled with this, there would be no strife and contention. All joy and peace, all things complete. If they were filled with this, there would be no strife and contention. And it also says in believing, the effect of believing is that it produces joy and peace. Amen? The effect of believing in Jesus Christ produces joy and peace. It also says that ye may abound, that your hope may be steadfast and strong. That ye may abound, meaning that your hope, that means that your hope may be steadfast and strong. Through the power. By this power, it means that by means of this power is a power of operation of the Holy Spirit. It is the power alone that Christians have the hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. It is by his power alone that Christians have hope of eternal life. Amen? Amen. Every day when we wake up, there's hope that we are going to have eternal life in Christ. Hallelujah. Moving on to 1 Corinthians 7:15. But if the believing depart, let him not depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. But if the believing depart, if they choose to leave, if they choose to leave you, let him depart. You cannot prevent it. And you are to submit to it patiently and bear to it as a Christian. If the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under the bondage in such cases, but called us to peace. We as Christians, we are called to peace. We are not to create strife. We're not to create confusion. Now it says, but if there is someone who is unbelieving that may depart, if they choose to leave, you can't prevent it. You're to submit to it patiently and to bear it as a Christian. Hallelujah. If they are unbelieving, there's nothing that we can do. Hallelujah. I always like to believe that someone's going to come along and plant a seed. God works in mysterious ways. When they leave us, we may not see a change. We may not see what we're looking for. But along that journey, God is going to send somebody else their way, and it's going to plant a seed, the word of God in them. And then as they go a little further, somebody else is going to water it. And before you know it, they're going to end up coming back. I believe that they will end up coming back as a believer. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Amen? Would you agree to that? God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God is not the author of confusion. See, his religion cannot tend to produce disorder. It can't produce disorder. He is the God of peace, and his religion will tend to promote order. Amen? It's calm. It's peaceful. It is thoughtful. It is not boisterous or disorderly. Amen? And it says in the scripture, as in all the churches of the saints, as was everywhere, it was apparent in the churches. Paul here he's appealing to them, and he says that was the fact that wherever a true religion was spread, that it tended to produce peace and order. This is a true now, and it is. And it's a true now, and it was then during Paul's time. And because of that, we're supposed to learn from that. If it did it then, it can do it now. Amen? 2 Corinthians. We're on 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be restored, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Hallelujah. Finally, I like that, finally, I like that. Brethren, farewell, be restored. Be restored. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. When it says, finally, brethren, this is a reminder. It's a reminder that all that remains is for me to bid you an affectionate farewell. Hallelujah. Be perfect. When you start looking at being perfect, if you want to look further, look at 2 Corinthians 13:9, and also you can look at Romans 22. Be perfect. It was a wish that every disorder might be removed, that all that was out of joint might be restored. Hallelujah. Let me read that again. Hallelujah. It was a wish that every disorder might be removed, that all that was out of joint, out of place, might be restored. and that everything might be in its proper place, and that they might be just what they are to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray that on all of us. Amen. That we might just be what we are to be as we struggle through this Christian race. It says the race does not go to the swift, hallelujah, but it goes to those who endure to the very end. Amen. Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle of the partition between us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's Ephesians. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Amen. There is evidence in Isaiah 57:19 and verse 14, for he is our peace. It talks about our peace. And the peace is referred to is that which is a union in worship and in feeling. And it has been produced between the Jews and the Gentiles during that time. The peace here is referred to as a union between, it's a union between the Jews and the Gentiles, and that union was a union of worship and a feeling that was produced by that worship, and that was not only to the Jews but also the Gentiles. For he is our peace. Hallelujah. He's a peace for the Jews, he's peace for the Gentiles, for all mankind. He is peace. Amen? There is peace when we are in Christ. We are one body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:15. Having abolished in his flesh, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of two one new man, soul making peace. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of two one new man, soul making peace. When it says here having abolished, that's having brought to brought or put to an end. When we see the word abolished, that's something that has been brought to, or something has been put to an end. Having abolished in his flesh in enmity. And when we look at when it says in his flesh is by the sacrifice of his body on the cross. It was not by instruction. It was not by communicating the knowledge of God. It was not by a teacher. It was not by mere power. It was by his flesh, his human nature. And this can mean only that he did it by his sacrifice of himself. He did it by his sacrifice of himself for you and for me. Amen. Amen. Are we blessed that one man would sacrifice his flesh for you and for me? Hallelujah. And allow us to have an abundant life. And then he's allowed the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to lead, to guide us. Amen. Hebrews 12, 14. Hebrews 12, 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. When it says follow peace with all men, that means that you do not give indulgence to those passions, which lead to strife, which lead to wars. Follow peace with all men. We do not give in to the passions which leads to strife or to wars. And if you look at Romans 14:19, if you want a further read, you can look at that and get more information. Now, the connection here requires us to understand that this is mainly of persecutors, of those who are the persecutors. The apostle is referring to the trials which those whom he addressed were experiencing. Those trials seem to have arisen mainly from persecution. And he's telling them to manifest a spirit of kindness towards all. To manifest a spirit of kindness toward all, even though they were engaged in persecuting them. Now, this is considered like the temper of the gospel. We are to make war if we're going to make war with sin, but not with man. When there's bad passions and corrupt desires, it says they do not follow worms. They do not follow worms. Anything that is digging its way into the ground, anything that lives under the dirt, we live through Christ. Amen? You think about that. Someone is persecuting you, and what Jesus Christ is saying is that we are to manifest the spirit of kindness toward them. Someone does something to you, then you are to manifest kindness and the spirit of Christ. And God knows our heart. He knows that we fall short oftentimes, you know, and that's why I like that, you know, the song. It says we start talking about new beginnings. You know, we're always dying. We're always dying in the flesh when we're trying to become more like Christ. Dying in the flesh means that we are getting rid of our old self, our old ways, our old things that has created confusion, our old ways, the old things that is bringing us down. And God is saying that when we get rid of all of that, then there's peace. There's peace in the spirit of Christ. And that's why it says there's no one perfect. The only one that's perfect is Jesus Christ. And we're constantly trying. We're constantly attempting to be more like Christ. We're constantly attempting to crucify the flesh and invite more of the spirit in. Amen? But it goes on and talks about, also it speaks of holiness. It speaks of holiness. Instead of yielding to contending to passions and to a spirit of war, instead of seeking revenge on your persecutors and your enemies, make it an aim, rather, to be holy. And it's saying here, let that be the object of your pursuit. The great purpose of your life, men might, in such cases, counsel them to seek revenge. The spirit of religion could counsel them to strive to be holy. But in such times, there was a danger in giving in to evil passions during that time. And it's saying that we are to endeavor to be holy. We're not to give in to any type of strife, any type of passion, but we are to hold on to endeavor to be holy. And when we follow the word of God, then that leads to holiness. It's almost like a roadmap for us. And even the apostles at that time, you know, they had a difficult time trying to follow all of the commandments of Christ. Those are just examples that we are trying to crucify self. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us, we begin to start to hear God speak to us, and we follow. Amen? We go on, it says, without which no man shall see the Lord. They shall see him in peace. They shall see him as to dwell with him. All will see him in the day of judgment. Hallelujah. But to see one is often used to be in a sense of dwelling with one, or when we enjoy one or enjoy one another, that is dwelling in the Spirit of God. And Matthew 5:8 speaks to that even more. The principle here is stated is the one which we never depart in Revelation 21:27, also in Isaiah 35:8. And 52:1, Matthew 13:41, and 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. No one has ever been admitted to heaven in his sins. Amen? No one has ever been admitted to heaven in his sins, nor is it desirable that anyone should ever be. Desirable as it is that lost men should be happy, yet it is a benevolence which includes, or shall I say, it excludes the unbelieving. Just as a benevolence to a family to exclude it. It seduces, and it is a benevolence to a community that confines thieves and robbers in prison. So this is saying that God does not allow sin into heaven. God does not allow sin into heaven. That sin is going to when one is caught up in sin, it's almost saying that they are caught up in thievery. They're thieving, and also they're robbers. And when you're caught up in that to them, that's like a prison. That's like a prison. Caught up in prison. There is no escape. There is no escape. Amen? Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know heaven and earth will pass away, it states, but God will not admit one unrepenting an unpardoned sinner in to heaven. So whatever a person has done if they have not repented of their sins. If they have not repented of their sins, it's saying that they will not make it into heaven. Every day, we think about the life that we live, we are all constantly making mistakes. We're constantly falling short of the glory of God, and every day we are to repent of our sin and ask for forgiveness. Ask God to forgive us for the mistakes that we made. And isn't it good to know that God knows our hearts? One thing can come out of our mouth, but God looks at our heart. We can say that we're sorry. We can say that we will not sin again, but God looks at our heart. The heart cannot lie in the eyesight of God. Amen? I would say God knows everything about us. After all, He made us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It can get really, really deep when it starts, you know, looking at it in terms of trying to make it into heaven. We're all trying to make it into heaven. But one of the things it's saying here, what it's saying, the scripture we're looking at, peace, is repenting of our sins as well as being obedient, following the word of God. And when we follow the word of God, the commandments of God, that there is peace, there is joy, there's happiness. Hallelujah. Earlier we talked about the fruit. Talked about the fruit that we bear. We talked about that. Some things that we go through and what the outcome is going to be. Let's look at James 3:18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. And if you want to read any further, you look at Psalms 34:14. That will give you more information, as well as Matthew 5 and 8 and Ephesians 5, 5. It says, without which no man shall see the Lord, that is, shall see him in peace, or shall see him as to dwell with him. All will see him in the day of judgment. But to see one is often used in the sense of being with one, dwelling with one, enjoying one. And the principle here stated that is one which will never one which is never departed from. Amen. Without which no man shall see the Lord. And it's saying the only time that we'll see the Lord is the day of judgment. If you want to read more, you can look at Revelations 21:27, Isaiah 35:8, and 52:1, also 60:21, and Joel 3:17, Matthew 13:41, as well as 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 10. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's move on further. The scripture, we're looking at 2 Peter 1:1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. No one has ever been admitted into heaven for sin, nor is it desirable that anyone should be, as we spoke about. And looking at reading first scriptures of Psalms 34:14, as well as Matthew 5:8 and Ephesians 5:5. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, for those of you that have tuned in, we're going to open up for any comments in case you would like to make any comments. The telephone number is 347-237-4054. You hit number one, and you can be connected to us, and we'll open up the line. Is there anyone that would like to make any comments? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As we move on, as we get closer toward the end of the hour, moving on to Galatians 5:22, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Galatians 5:23 says, meekness, self-control, against such there is no law. Paul writes that there is no law against producing the fruit of the Spirit. This law is for lawbreakers. And as we talked about earlier, a popular hymn that received much acclaim several generations ago derived as our Savior being gentle, Jesus is meek and mild. Now, meekness is a fruit of the Spirit that seems very much, you know, almost lost in our culture. Wouldn't you agree? Our culture, we look at, you know, people are aggressive, and as well as self-centered. And see, because people are associated with aggressive and self-centered, people look at being meek as a weakness. Okay, and most people today do not admire others for being meek. But again, when we look at the hymn, when it says Jesus was meek and mild, we're talking about Jesus Christ was meek and mild. But yet the culture, our culture, we look at it, when someone is meek, that is a sign of weakness. That's something to think about. Amen. One of the greatest human beings ever to grace this earth, and one that all of us need today, is Jesus Christ. And he was meek and mild. But yet, that is considered a sign of weakness. Maybe when they say that when we are weak in Christ, when people see us weak in Christ, we're actually strong because of the way the world sees things. Just a thought. When it says long suffering, we look at long suffering. Long suffering is something that is considered almost like love on trial. It enables you to forbear and forgive others when there is long suffering. If you want to look further, if you look at Colossians 3:13, you can read even further. Almost as with the manifestation of spiritual fruit, you can't produce it yourself. Now, the ability for long suffering comes from the Holy Spirit and also by loving God's law. When we are long suffering, we're able to endure it when it comes from the Holy Spirit. Now think about that, long-suffering, love on trial. Love on trial, isn't that an interesting analogy. Long suffering is love on trial. In Colossians 3:13, it says, "Forbearing, forgiving one another, Christ forgave you." So we are to forgive others. Long suffering is also used, is also referred to as patience. And we look at patience as being mild, gentle, and constant in all circumstances. The real test of patience is not waiting, but how we act while we're waiting. The real test of patience is not waiting, but how we act while, should I say, he or she is waiting. A person who has developed patience will be able to put up with anything without losing his temper, his or her temper, should I say. Scripture tells us in James 1:4, it says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting, lacking nothing." Reaching this point is definitely a process in which takes a lot of practice, wouldn't you agree? However, we can learn to enjoy life where we are while we are waiting for what we desire. Amen? In Colossians 3:11, it also talks about strengthened with his might. Strengthened with his might. So while we are waiting with patience, we are strong in Christ. We are patient, but our flesh is saying that it's taking too long. But when we have our focus on God, when we have our mind stayed on thee, that we are strengthened in his might. So it doesn't make a difference what we are going through. When we learn patience, when we learn long-suffering, when we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us as we are going through this trial, it's saying that there's strength with his might. Hallelujah. In Psalms 119:165, it says, "Great peace have they who love your law. Nothing shall offend them." Psalms 119:165, it says, "Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing shall offend them." Nothing shall offend them. It doesn't make a difference what it is our old self used to get upset about. But when we are a new person, a new creature in Christ, nothing can affect us. Nothing. Amen? Boy, that's a good word. That's a good word that we all could use. Hallelujah. We're going to read a couple more scriptures as we're getting closer toward the hour. Luke 10:5, "And to whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.'" And whatever house you enter, first say, "Peace be to this house." The Son of Peace, that is, if the first house or that first house that you, if first house or family be worthy or disposed to receive you in peace and kindness. The Son of Peace. When we talk about the Son of Peace, we're talking about the Holy, we're talking about Jesus Christ. The Son of Peace, that is. And if, when we say that, peace be to this house, that means Jesus Christ be in this house. To any family, any household that we walk into, peace be into this house. We're bestowing a blessing on the household. And if Jesus Christ is in the house, then we are going to receive that peace. We're going to receive that peace. Amen? If the Son of Peace is there, it shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. That's in Luke 10. If the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. The words that you speak, peace be upon his house, it shall rest upon it. If not, then we're going to see how we are treated within that household. It shall return to you again. That means that you're not treated with kindness. It means that when you cannot see Christ within the house, it's not going to come. It's going to rest upon you. It's going to come back. If Christ is not within that household, then it's going to come back. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to end there, and we thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We're here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8:25. Dr. Suzanne is kind of ill on the line, but kind of ill. So we do thank her for getting on and participating as well, even online. And she cannot say anything, but spiritually she's there. We do thank her for that. We thank you for those that have tuned in by phone, for those numbers that we see here. We thank you for tuning in, even just listening. We pray that this has been a blessing to you. We also pray that the word that was spoken, that it was received unto your household. For those who's listening by internet, again, thank you so much for supporting us. Thank you for tuning in every Wednesday to supporting us and being a part of New Beginnings Ministry. Again, we are a Bible interactive study. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Remember one thing. We love you, but God loves you most. Amen? Until next Wednesday.
you've been waiting for all night. How many know that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us?
Hallelujah. How many believe it tonight? Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, he's able. Tell somebody else, he's able. Y'all ready?